Governor Ducey announced yesterday that he had reached a deal with lawmakers on a plan to give teachers a 20% raise by 2020, a plan that has been questioned by teachers who decided to carry out their walkout even after it was introduced. They said the plan relied too heavily on a rosy economic forecast for the state in the future, and it didn't include additional money for support staff in schools like librarians or counselors. But the new deal represents an unprecedented investment in K-12 education and leaves us on solid economic ground, according to Republican Speaker of the House, J.D. Mesnard. He released some of the details of the plan last night, and I spoke with him earlier this morning more about it. He started by describing for us what the deal looks like, how it is different from the governor's original proposal.
So the governor's original plan was 20% by 2020 for a teacher pay raise, as well as other funding for K-12 education. So that part is still intact. What has changed, I suppose, is how we fund it. There was some skepticism on the revenue numbers that the governor had relied on with his plan. And what we put out there, what we introduced yesterday in the legislature, relies on $350 million roughly, less in economic related revenue. So what that means is what we came up with is less based on projection, which should give people a little more confidence, or frankly, a lot more confidence, that this is, in fact, a real pay raise that we can afford.
Right. So this relies less on those rosy economic projections that we heard so much about after the governor's initial plan.
Exactly.
Do you think that that will satisfy some of the teachers who have had concerns, particularly about that part of the governor's plan?
I certainly hope so. I believe that with many, they're looking at this thinking, you know, this is a pretty good thing and less uncertainty. But you're going to have others who are skeptics or who are naysayers where they're always going to doubt, or frankly, nothing will be good enough. I think for the vast majority of people who are looking at this plan, once it's passed, and of course, that's the other thing, is people wondering exactly when it's going to be passed.
Right.
We're moving as quickly as we can. But once they see it passed and they see and realize the additional pay in their paycheck, that's probably the best proof.
The other major criticism that Arizona Teachers United, the Arizona Education Association, a lot of the groups leading this walkout that's going on right now, another criticism they had of the governor's plan was that it does not include support staff. We've heard a lot about that from teachers out on the Capitol lawn, that it doesn't include PE teachers or people who are, you know, math intervention specialists, things like that. Does this new budget proposal address those concerns?
So it doesn't do anything different in that area, except that what people seem to be forgetting is that the underlying baseline budget that was there from the get-go, including in the governor's plan and from January as well as our own, includes a lot more money for those areas. So there's a belief somehow that unless we're targeting a specific area like we are with teachers and the additional pay, that there isn't any resources available for these other areas, and that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
We have $100 million more in the base of the budget for inflation and growth and things that can be allocated to these areas, as well as $100 million for school supplies and capital.
So this isn't what many have criticized it to be, that sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're saying this is actual money that will be there in the future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, $1 billion more over the next few years. So if you aggregate it all together, we're probably closing in on $2 billion by 2023. That's a massive investment in K-12 education, the likes of which we have never seen. And yet it's done in a way that's fiscally responsible and leaves us on solid economic footing and financial footing. So I think there's some who want us to take over salaries for teachers and all these other areas. That's really a district function. We're about resources, and the resources we're giving in this plan that we've worked out with the governor are immense.
What is your reaction to the ballot initiative that was announced yesterday by David Lujan and some others, which would put a tax on people who make more than $250 a year to pay for education?
Yeah, that's an unfortunate proposal, because it doesn't just tax the rich and create this class warfare at the ballot, but it also impacts small businesses who can be swooped up in this sort of proposal. It would also put us in the top 7 or 8 states in the entire country for our top income tax rate, which is not something that's going to attract people to this state. So I personally think it'd be a disaster for Arizona, and I'm not even sure it would bring in the revenue that they're claiming it would.
So now you will be working to get the votes for this proposal. I wonder, have teachers been involved in these discussions? Are you already in conversations with some of the people involved in this walkout as you shape this budget proposal so that if it passes, you will be able to end this?
I've personally had a number of conversations over the last few weeks with teachers, both in my district and outside of my district. And the reaction I get from them is very positive. It's mostly, you know, when is this going to happen? Is it going to happen? And so if we can push it through this week, which is the plan starting today, going to committee to get the bills moving, I think that their confidence level will grow.
So are you confident that if this passes, you can get kids back in schools and teachers back in classrooms?
Well, that's certainly the hope. To say that I'm confident, that's really up to these folks who are following the AEU's and the AEA's bidding. And my concern is that if or really when we pass this, if this doesn't inspire folks to get back into the classroom, I'm not sure what will.
Have you met with the leaders of the AEU or the AEA to try to come up with some kind of compromise?
I have not. The AEA decided to use this movement to endorse a candidate for governor and sort of tainted the whole ability to have a fair conversation in my way. And some of the folks, a couple of them in particular at the top of the AEU, are much more political operatives than people realize. So I'm not really looking at those at the top as representative of the rest of the folks, certainly based on my conversations with the hundreds of teachers I've talked to now over the last few weeks. I'm going to continue talking to the teachers straight up, and I'm not going to look at the leadership of the AEU or AEA as representative of them.
All right. That's Speaker of the House, J.D. Mesnard. Thank you so much for your time, Speaker.
Thanks for having me.
And for the perspective of the other side of the aisle, we turn to Representative Rebecca Rios, House Minority Leader. When I spoke with her earlier today, I started by asking what she thinks of the proposed budget at this point.
The bills that have been introduced, very, very little from the original plan that the governor introduced about 3 weeks ago. Essentially, he is pushing through his same 20 by 2020 plan. And despite more realistic revenue forecasts, it's still just not going to be sustainable.
Has there been input from you and other Democratic leaders?
Absolutely none. There have been no invitations by the governor to meet with him to discuss this plan. Not only has he not included the minority caucus, but more importantly, he has refused to meet with the leaders of the Red for Ed movement, which I just find incredulous. He continues to say that he's meeting with teachers, but he's literally handpicking five or six teachers to go up and chat with him. Those are not negotiations. That is not speaking with the Red for Ed leadership, and he simply refuses to do so.
So does it feel to you as though, based on all the bodies who have been down at the Capitol in their red, the big march last Thursday, does it feel as though the governor and some Republican leaders are influenced by what's happening, but they're simply not willing to accept who's doing the influencing to some extent?
They are undoubtedly feeling the pressure of 50,000 teachers dressed in red, but the pressure is only amounting to them pushing through the same lopsided 20 by 2020 plan that, again, is unsustainable. It is a plan in which the governor and the Republicans absolutely refuse to look at bringing in more revenue, although many of them will acknowledge this plan is not sustainable without new revenue. So in essence, he has taken the same dollars on the table and spread them even more thinly across a variety of programs. He's taking money now, instead of from the developmentally disabled community, now he's taking it from HERF dollars, you know, money that was intended to go to fix our roads and infrastructure. Now he's taking that for education. I think what is even more important is that he's promising all teachers a 20% increase, which he absolutely cannot guarantee. In addition to that, what he is saying is, We have money for support staff now. But if you actually look at what he's doing, he is saying that $100 million in what's called district additional assistance, essentially money for soft capital for books and other supplies that he was touting just in January that he was going to give that $100 million, now he's saying, oh, you know what, you can use that for support staff. Essentially, the same amount of dollars, now he's saying use it for support staff.
Take me into the politics of this a little bit, if you would. I know these are not apples to apples comparisons, but I was thinking about the Medicaid expansion situation where at the time the House Speaker and the Senate President both basically got ruled by a coalition to some extent of mostly Democrats, but a few Republicans who decided that there was a more practical way of doing these things. Of course, the governor had a perspective on that as well at the time. So I'm wondering, is this troublesome enough based on how popular teachers are and how popular this movement is at this point? Or do you see this as Republicans huddling together and that's sort of how the budget bills go for better or worse? Or do you think there is some hope that there might be some collaboration this week?
You know, sadly enough, and we've offered this before, you know, I can bring to the table 25 Democratic votes. All we need is six Republicans, six moderate, if there are any, Republicans that claim to support public education. They're just not willing to look at revenue. Again, I think the fear is that they're going to be called out for quote unquote raising taxes. And all we are saying is you need to have folks pay their fair share. We have slashed income tax rates for top income earners, you know, over the past 20, 30 years. We have brought the corporate income tax rate down to where we are amongst the lowest in the country. That has led to the education crisis. Unfortunately, there are not moderate Republicans willing to come to the table and truly work in a bipartisan effort to address this issue. There is an absolute refusal to look at bringing in revenue. And I think that the people of Arizona have recognized that. And Friday, we saw the result of that. We saw folks go to the Secretary of State's office and say, legislature, governor, if you are going to continue to fail to fund public education, we will do it ourselves. They filed an initiative in which the revenue that is brought in will be dedicated for public education.
Rebecca Rios is the minority leader of the Arizona House. Representative Rios, thanks again.
Thank you so much.